Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Welcome. Welcome to our third episode. This is Morgan, and I'm here with my husband, Devin.
Yes, I'm still here.
We are celebrating 5 years of living together. We actually were married for a year before we had, or rather, I had the courage to live with my spouse. When he suggested that we move in together, I was so happy with the way things were. Every night was date night, his place or my place. I thought he was trying to ruin everything. But we've been here in our house for 5 years, and we're still together, so his evil plan failed. Ha ha, my love.
You have thwarted my plans.
That's right.
Well done.
So a little about me, if you don't know me. I have been a pioneer in the personal development world, focusing mostly on love and money for over 25 years, best-selling author, mentor, coach. My husband
plays guitar in his underpants most days. But yes, I'm also in relationship coaching industry, and I've been studying Kabbalah and the Western Mysteries for the last 30 years, and am a writer. And my memoir, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes, came out last year, which really reveals too much information.
I am so glad that I read it years into our marriage, because it would have scared me off. It's really interesting how much somebody can change. And by the way, yay for midlife. If I had met Devin at an earlier time, it would have been a disaster. Grown-up love is so much better.
Right. That, I guess that is the focus of our show.
Yeah.
Right. Like, in other words, we go out there and we become buffoons. At least I did in my 20s. I certainly know people that were relationship ready really early on. You know, like, they came out of high school, they were in love, they've stayed together, they've held hands, they just figured it all out. They worked it out. And of course, some of us, like myself, needed more, what's the term that I'm looking for?
Seasoning?
Ripening. Yes.
Ripening.
Right.
Oh, and your mother was telling me about your friend Mike, who has been happily married, good husband for a long time, but seemed to be a real lady killer before he met Amy.
Yeah.
So we get wiser with age. Today's episode, we are talking about wish lists and must-haves and love spells, because I think when we get clear on what we want, and even more clear on what matters most, because the wish stuff is sort of the garnish. It's like a great happy bonus. And I was like, nobody was more surprised than myself at how many things that I thought I could do without that were just very, it would be nice of, kind of extras showed up in Devin. But I was looking for the must-haves, and I got so clear on it. And I got help from a bunch of friends who are professional dating coaches and love coaches. And that I think made a big difference, because I did not come out of the womb with any idea how to date intelligently. And it didn't shift until I got some outside eyes who understood it better than I did. And I used what I really wanted, and even more important, what I really could not do without, when I created a very specific dating profile, which was sort of like my own love spell letter to the universe. And it brought back It's funny because I haven't looked at this dating profile that I wrote in, that was 2012, 8 years. And because I just got a new computer and I'm going through every file I have, deciding what to keep or delete, I came across this old profile and I couldn't believe how much it describes Devin more than I expected. I don't know if I should read it now or if we should save it for later.
Well, I think we should save it for later. I think there's things that need to be defined and discussed, like, in terms of, okay, so you came up with this show idea. So I'm going to throw it all back and onto you. But really, so what do you think a wish list is supposed to be? I mean, we should probably define it because it could, because something like that is a very broad stroke. Is it like, in other words, when I think of a wish list, and I've certainly spoken to many women about this, there's this idea of, well, tall, dark, and handsome, and I have my standards. And all that's fine, great, tall, dark, and handsome, high fives all around to everybody. And that doesn't necessarily get to anything because really, what's, I mean, like, tall in comparison to what? Or to whom? And I know that may sound a little bit silly, but I don't know if it is. I think we have these vague notions of what it is that we want, and
Well, and I also think we can have a lot of very specific notions of what we want that actually won't make us happy. And I think that there are things that we can think we want that can actually come with a lot of other things that we don't want. So part of it is getting more clear on what really matters. Like one of my favorite ways to look at it, and I got this from a friend, was look for character, not characteristics. Now, there are some characteristics that I find very appealing. I think Devin is adorable. I love that he plays guitar. That was sort of like a would be nice if. I love that he can build things like houses. I think that's such a guy thing, you know. I love so many of these little details, but it's really his character, his kindness, his charm to me is part of his character, his ability to make me laugh. The things that really make me happy speak far more to his character. Like, I like tall, dark, and handsome. At my height of 5'2", Devin's 5'10" qualifies as tall, dark, and handsome for me. But a tall, dark, handsome sociopath is not going to do me a lot of good. I have a lot of peers, very high achieving type A women who make enormous amounts of money, and they're looking for somebody who makes at least as much or more than they do. I can understand that. And then at the same time, that makes the market of really quality, emotionally available men a lot smaller. So for my lady friends who are doing really well financially, I'm actually going to say to you something that I said on a friend's show the day of my first date with Devin before I met him, which is, hallelujah, you have the freedom to choose the best man instead of having to choose the best pocketbook bank account out of survival. Financial freedom is really wonderful for women because when we are financially free, we get to focus on what we really need because we don't need them to provide for us financially. So there's so many other ways that partners can provide and protect us beyond just money. And that said, I think that, being personally responsible for yourself financially and not crazy, not gambling, all that kind of stuff, that would be on my must-have. But a billionaire with a yacht, no, not necessary for me. I know I went on a tangent. Do you want to rein me in now, Devin?
I don't know how, actually. You've gone far afield. Yeah, I'm not even sure what's happening at this moment. I
I'm
see
just
that you're very
remembering
busy.
that we have a phone number for this show, and I'm just looking for it.
Yeah, and it may be too late. It may
Okay.
be too late. And, pressing buttons on a new computer when we're on a live radio show could be terrifying.
Oh, I just found it. Ha ha ha. So, touche, my love.
Yes.
Underestimate me again. This is a live show. So, we are going to be inviting you to call in and share with us your must-haves, your wish lists, how what you need in a partner, and maybe you have a story that you put it out to the universe that you had certain wishes and you got it. How did that work out for you? We want to hear from you. Call us at 888-627-6008. And by the way, we value your privacy. You do not even need to use your real name. If you want to be Daenerys Targaryen, we welcome you. Okay, Devin, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I prefer the name Tondalejo or Pendarvis, which is actually some weird reference to a television show called Taxi, which most of us are too young to remember.
Not on this show.
Not on this show. No, that's right.
My
We are dealing with sort of like our midlife stuff.
latke.
Right, exactly. So where are we with this?
Back to wish lists and must-haves.
Wish lists and must have.
What were yours?
My wish list was really like I have jokingly told my wife on many occasions that really all I wanted was brown hair and big boobs, and that's not even true. It was just
And
sort of
now I
like,
have blonde hair,
right, and now
so you
you
had
have
to
blonde
change
hair.
it.
I know I had to really reestablish myself. Honestly, I really thought that at some point I had to get some real clarity on what it was that I wanted. And I took a lot of time to kind of develop into what it is that I wanted. In other words, I wanted sort of like these qualities where I could have a conversation with somebody and have it be okay, and exchange ideas and have it be okay, and be wrong and have it be okay, and be imperfect and human and have it be okay. And so I think for me to really start, for me to get that from somebody else, I had to be willing to at least give the same. In other words, that meant whoever I was going to end up with was worthy of my compassion, was worthy of being human, i.e., being wrong and making mistakes and making terrible choices, because these are part of the human thing. I think as we get older, we get far better at either making those mistakes with a bit of humility or really covering our tracks exceptionally well. So that's really what I was looking for. And most of my stuff was I think probably in years before, in like past incarnations of myself, I think I really wanted just I wanted all the bells and whistles, but I didn't really want to work for them, and I didn't want to have to earn them, and I didn't want to have to be I wanted to put the person I was with to a standard that I was incapable of being. So I wanted all that stuff, right? I wanted the compassion, I wanted the love, I wanted the truth, I wanted the honesty, but I didn't want to have to participate in any of that. I wanted somebody else to embody those things on my behalf, and if I was with them, that would be good enough.
And how did that work out for you?
Not well. I don't mind telling you that it didn't work out well. And it took, I think, for me a really long time to even acknowledge those imperfections about myself. Because I think if you had asked me when I was in my 20s, and I really wasn't a horrible person, I certainly had my fair share of issues and problems. But I think if you had asked me, I would say, oh no, I'm honest about everything. I'm honest to a fault. And that really wasn't very true. But the thing is, if you are in a stage in your life where you're not even really clear on what honesty is, how do you actually embody qualities and characteristics that you don't really fully understand? And so honesty, I think for me, was my willingness to be blunt in the middle of your despair. You know what I mean? Like that's the worst side of it. And so it took a while for me to kind of get to the understanding of is that you know, much of what it was that I wanted to receive had to be cloaked in a measure of compassion, and it had to be sort of cloaked in a in sort of like a, how do I describe it? Sort of like you know, having good intentions behind the things. So really, at my core, as an example, like at my core, you know, my wife and I can really disagree. And we have that capacity to disagree about all kinds of things. But at the same time, my core is I want her to be happy in her life. I want her to be able to go after the things that she wants to have in this world. And even if I think I know better, right? At the end of the day, my core is that I believe in her to go after and do what's right for her, even if I disagree, even if we have, you know, frank exchanges of ideas, which, again, we are capable of.
Which can have very high volume.
I don't think they do. I know that's kind of said like in a fun way, but I don't see us getting, you know, we don't do really yelling and screaming matches. And if they, you know, if we yell and scream, it is short.
It's short, and it doesn't happen that often, and it's really painful when it does.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't serve anything, and I mean, I think that's part of sort of like more of the wisdom that we start getting is that if I want to yell and scream, I'm better off doing that in the garage into a pillow than I am, because it doesn't serve anything. You know, having a feeling of yelling and screaming and actually doing it, you know, tends to do far more harm than good.
Yeah. I think for me, the wish list and the must-haves came for me later in life, in that I just wanted so badly to be loved. And I was so willing to see the best in some crazy and abusive people and make excuses for them and blame myself and just needing so badly. Not all of them, but I did. I was really, really good at finding the addicts and people with like deep dishonest or abusive flaws that had nothing to do with me. And my thing was learning to get honest with myself right away instead of after a couple of years with the person, and willingness to say no with kindness. And to just hold out and hold out and hold out. And it wasn't, dating sometimes felt like job interviews, but you can't really just go through a list of questions and find out who a person is. That's why it takes time to know somebody and see how they respond during life. It's also why it's helpful to not have sex right away, because you know, when that happens, all bets are off. I'm just a victim of my own passions for this very cute man sitting next to me, who fortunately is my husband.
Oh, well, nice save. I think you were veering into a swamp and thought, wait.
How is she going to get herself out of that?
she's digging. She's digging a hole. What's happening? But she managed to pull through. So, to get back to this idea of wish lists, are we talking about wants? Are we talking about needs? Or are we talking about sort of like the highest, most unrealistic aspirations, like the wishes that come from fairy tales? What's your...
I see it like a target. So I actually ended up, to my shock, with the craziest, most outlandish, literal fairy tale wish I got, like back when I was, you know, just freaking out romantically. I would pull out tarot cards, and I kept getting these knights after one after another. My guy is coming, and they were always knights, usually knights of cups and knights of swords. And if you listen to our first episode, you will know that my husband was knighted in our first year of marriage. And he's a writer, that's like the swords, and he's very spiritual and heart-centered, and that's like the Knight of Cups. So I got that fairy tale princess Disney fantasy came true. Did I need it? No, but it is kind of a fun little joke from the universe. So you've got your really big outlandish circle, and then you get smaller circles that get closer and closer to the real stuff. The outer fringe is nice, but you don't need it, and you probably won't even miss it or notice it when that closest target of the stuff that matters the most, that makes you feel loved, that brings out the best in you, that feels like that twin flame partnership, and you're happy. All the other stuff really doesn't matter because, life is about change and things, those circumstances, those come and go, those change too, but you really want to focus in on these common values that make this person worthy of your love and make you love this person even when the two of you are on your worst days. So we want to hear, what are your wish lists? What are your must-haves? Have you met somebody who really fulfilled what you put on your wish list, and how did that work out for you? Call us at 888-627-6008. And again, you don't even need to use your real name. I will say the phone number again, 888-627-6008. And we will keep talking.
Yes. So I'm still kind of confused. Like, I get what you said, but if we're making a list of your wish list, how do you define that list? Where does that list come from? Like, I know how I came to my list, and it was through actually a woman who I know named Anacreya King, and I was constantly coming up with really. Like, she was an astrologer, and there was a point, I was in my 20s, at some point I would describe these terrible relationships that I was in, and she would say, "Well, why don't you get me their birth information, and I'll do a little astrology for you, and I'll let you know, whether or not this was a keeper or not." And oh wait, I see that we call. How do we do that?
We have Kimberly online too. Do you want to come back to that? Let's take
Yeah, we'll get
Kimberly.
back to it. Let's take
Hi,
Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Hi. You asked the perfect question. So what happens if I make this list and I have this big, beautiful list and I get everything I ask for and then it just blows up? So what happens then?
Oh, my wife is motioning that I should answer. I think what ends up happening then is, I believe that relationships are, they're based on attraction and all these choices that we're making, right? You've made out this big, beautiful list, and you meet this great, wonderful person in your world, and they are charming. And then what ends up happening is people start, their heart gets, it's on the line all of a sudden. Like, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is this really great person. And the more they become the great person in your life, all of a sudden, the more it feels, this is again, just my professional experience here, is that all of a sudden people get a little nervous, right? They start letting their guard down and they start becoming more vulnerable. And soon as people start becoming vulnerable within a relationship, all of the stuff that they get afraid of starts bubbling up to the surface. And then what ends up happening is either couples choose to fight through it on some way, or real reasons of why a partnership won't work starts getting in the way. Can I ask you, for some specifics?
Definitely real reasons that the relationship wouldn't work out came up. And sure, it was lots of fear and big emotional stuff. And I think that I personally need to rework my list. But, I asked for someone spiritual and connected and that had done work and that was evolved and had emotional intelligence and, some just core value things in alignment with mine. And it did show up, but then it looked completely different once it started to evolve.
Well, first, bravo to you for manifesting what you asked for. And everything you named, Bravo. So, wow, how powerful are you, and how great that is to know about yourself that you can draw it in and you got more information than you had before of what you need for an ideal partner. So I would say keep what works. You have more information now. And as you said, rework your list, refine it, because maybe that person came into your life to serve a period of your life, but also teach you who you are and what you really need so that you can draw that in.
Yeah, well, when we talked last week about, you know, ideas of soulmates, and that the idea that there's probably a great many of them running around, it's, I believe, the reason why there's so many sort of like pieces to the soul and the soulmates idea is that, you know, we don't just show up and we're sort of spiritually evolved and whole and perfect. Like, we work on ourselves, and we have to have other people to sort of like open these windows where we start learning about ourselves. Now, of course, we can have bad things happen and then point at the other person solely. But I think more often than not, that if a relationship doesn't work out, some of the most important things that we get to take away are not just the mementos of the relationship, but the actual things that we can learn from. Like, what you're saying, I think, is beautiful, is that here you had this wonderful, you know, terrific person who, you know, once you got that thing, all of a sudden you realize that your list needs to be reconsidered. And, you know, maybe there's some new things that needed to be added. Or maybe, you know, it's funny, you know, I have friends who are like coupled and they've been together for a long time, where I think initially the woman, one woman in particular, wanted sort of like that really spiritual guy. And after she had dated a number of guys that had man buns and multiple pairs of yoga pants, she realized that she would be fine being the spiritual one in the relationship. And that's what she got. She got kind of more of a meat and potatoes guy who really doesn't care about her spiritual side, but that's not necessarily the way that they connect. In other words, they have certain core values, they have certain things that really fit together and drive each other to their own improvement without getting in the way where everything becomes like a competition isn't really the right word, but things that stand in the way of ultimately their own spiritual evolution.
And my own trauma with man buns made me really not look for a spiritual guy. I just wanted kind of a straight-laced guy who would think that my witchiness was cute and benign and create a safe space for that. And then I ended up with somebody way more magical than I am. So, haha, joke's on me. So, Kimberly?
Well, that's all great help. And I listened to last week's show, and it was also really valuable. So thank you so much for your time. And that's really great feedback. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in, Kimberly.
Take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So just getting back to the story that I was sharing about, I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No. So, yeah, back to Anna Kriya King.
Back to Anna Kriya King. So she was, Anna Kriya, sadly, is I think, in the deep throes of dementia. But I know her and remember her as one of the smartest people ever. And so there was just this period where I would be bringing in birth data of these different women, that each one was like, oh, this one's different. This one's a different one. I've learned my lesson.
Oh, my God. I was doing exactly the same thing with my astrologer, too. But
right.
Go on.
So finally, I would bring in these things, and she would look at them, and she'd get back to me in a few days and say, hey, listen, you know, this is a dud. This is a dud. And she'd always say, like, well, you could sleep with them, but this is not going to work out. And here's the reasons why it's not going to work out. And she was really right, for the most part, across the board. And I think what she finally said was, because I was like, listen, I don't know what's wrong. I said, would you fix me up? She goes, you know, if I did, you probably aren't ready to see the kind of person that will actually really help you to thrive. And so she gave me an assignment, and the assignment I have since put in. I have an ebook that is actually on my site, which is about women being smarter than men. Which
the book is for free at InTheKnowBride com, and it literally is called Women Are Smarter Than Men.
Because you are. Because you are. But so the thing that she told me to do is that she had me make a list, and the list included all of the wants, right? And she even made a very specific point to say, be as shallow as possible, but also be as high-minded as possible. Like, write all of the things down that you could conceivably want, right? My wish list. And then
which
after
were brown hair and big boots.
Right. It was a very short list, but it was a powerful list. It was a very meaningful list. But no, really, she was literally like, sit down and you meditate on it and you really think about all of the things, and you don't do the list quickly. Like, you give yourself some time to kind of go through all the aspects of humanness that you want to see in a partner. And then after you've done this list and you've been really thorough on it, then you make another column. And that column is for all the things that if you see it, it's a deal breaker, right? And it doesn't matter whether, okay, like a heroin junkie is, you know, was probably on my list of somebody who's in the middle of that.
That's a deal breaker.
That was a deal breaker, right? There was a handful of things, and it doesn't matter. Like, again, she was like, you can be as shallow as you want, as long as it's like a truthful thing, right? Like, you actually feel this. And as long as it's, you know, like, hey, if you see it. But the tricky thing is, frequently we have this list of deal breakers, and then all of a sudden we go out with the person, and then we can say, well, sure, we see this thing that we know for a fact doesn't work, but did you see her eyes? You know, how the glint in them, right, brings me joy and happiness. So I'm willing to sort of like overlook things that I know won't work in the end, because in that moment I'm feeling whatever infatuation, even love. So those are two columns, right? And then once you have like a really firm list of those, then what you do is you go through each one of those, and what I would suggest is you take that list and you put it in a shelf. This is exactly what I did. I threw it in a shelf and I came back to it a month later because I wanted to come back to it with fresh eyes. I wanted to come back and sort of, you know, hopefully see something new. And maybe I forgot something that was on either list. But finally, the third list was, or the third column of this list was, well, what am I going to need to really thrive? And I had to really examine each one of these things. And maybe some of those shallow things on my list ended up, you know, in this sort of like, what do I need to thrive list? But I literally went through each one of these things and crossed out certain things. And I had to go and really double check on my deal breakers list, because I really had to kind of think hard about ideas. Do I want somebody who's going to push me around a little bit, right? And I had to think, what does that actually mean sort of for me? Because really, I want a strong woman. I want a woman who has my best interests at heart. And those kinds of things are important. But I also want a woman who is willing to sort of like, okay, this is the thing I'm willing to go into the fire over. Right. In other words, we could have this frank exchange of ideas, but if I knew for sure this was a really important thing, I had to be able to see that. I didn't want somebody who was going to overrun me with every little thing, or I didn't want somebody where I could overrun them for every little thing. Do you know what I mean? I needed somebody actually to bring out compassion, and somebody who's going to force me to think about important issues. So, you know, there was a couple of things on my deal breakers list that actually ended up on my final need list, because I thought they were in the end going to serve me sort of like for my long term, not only my long term happiness, but for my my well-being. You know, like I love the idea of happiness, but I wanted this list to be much more about contentment, which is different. In other words, my happiness could be like, I'm sitting in the sun having a picnic. Great, happiness, right? And everything's hunky-dory, happiness. But there's also this part of me that really wants to strive towards goals and being of service. And those are much more, I think, challenging things. Like, if I'm going after things that are much more purposeful to me, it doesn't necessarily, the happiness isn't necessarily as important, Because once I have contentment, like I know I've done the right thing, I can live with the results, even if it brings me things that don't give me joy necessarily. Does that all, I hope that all makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny. I've been thinking about my list and I didn't find, I think I have like hundreds of journals in the garage and you know, I don't go into the garage. What it really boils down to, like you can have details and labels and names and specifics, which is useful, especially for the wishy stuff. Like I think I mentioned, it was such a bonus that you look the way you do and you play guitar and you sing and make things. But that wasn't on my, that wasn't necessary to me. What is, what was and is necessary to me is I have to respect you. You have to be, I have to believe you're intelligent. You know, I, and I'm very kind of snobby that way because of the way I was raised. And I need to be able to laugh with you because that to me is, that's like lubrication for the soul and joy. So I need you to be attractive to me. It doesn't really matter what you look like as long as I'm attracted to you and we have that. Otherwise, that is a deal breaker. Integrity. You have to be trustworthy and safe and kind, not abusive, not dangerous. Those are deal breakers. Alcohol and drug abuse, deal breakers. I didn't think I wanted a parent, but it turned out that your daughter made you a better man and she's lovely. So that thing I didn't think I wanted turned into a plus. Again, it's, you know, the real deep character things that can show up in maybe some different flavors, but came together best in Devon flavor.
Right. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, and we're not using names, that I had fixed up somebody based upon a checklist that I had. I know I have a friend that I know fairly well, and I had over time developed like this little checklist in my brain. And I remember running into somebody and thinking, oh, this would be perfect. So I set them up and it took like forever, but they eventually went out and, it didn't, you know, I mean, I think it was fine, but there wasn't that spark. And that's, you know, sometimes that really is critical. In other words, it would be great. You know, it's funny. I actually know a couple that got, were married. They were married in the Middle East. They're obviously from the Middle East. And it was an arranged marriage. And they've been together now for over 40 years. They have like five kids. They actually are deeply in love. They have a wonderful relationship. And there's this, you know, so I love that idea, but more often than not, I think we need, you know, maybe they were fortunate enough to just have sort of that intrinsic glue that kept them through all of that stuff. And maybe part of it was culture, but I think most of us need some sort of a spark that's like, oh, okay, you're my people.
But you know what's actually kind of cool about the quarantine that we're in is that now, since you can't get that spark right away, you have an opportunity, should you take it, to really get to know each other before you meet and really learn deeper who the person is before you meet in person and your hormones just take you for a ride.
Are, is that a question?
No, I was looking at you to confirm. what do you want to say?
See, I would say that you can get that spark by a conversation on, you know, like through the computer.
Yeah.
I think you can get that spark through all kinds of ways. Like I think we're more intuitive and more understanding than we know, right? I also think that, you know, I do believe sort of like the universe is working in harmony with itself and we have lessons to learn and all that kind of fun stuff. So I think we do get a sense of that spark. Do you know what I mean? I also think it's really incredibly important that, you know, people explore stuff and allow maybe a first meeting doesn't necessarily create a spark. And again, it's part of it is sort of knowing yourself and sort of having sort of a, a My thing is that I think it's really important not to have vagueness in things that you want.
I learned something that went right on my must-have list. A friend of mine was a matchmaker, and she would be fixing me up with her wealthy guy clients who I never, you know, they were, so many of them were so sweet, and I, you know, not my person. But there was this one guy who I felt so relaxed and so comfortable with. And that was when I realized he was safe. And I was so bad at online dating at the time. And I would go on these dates and I would be talking too much and I'd be chatty and giggly and, you know, a little bit too much like I am on the show. And I realized that if I can be relaxed and feel like myself, that is a good sign. So even though that guy wasn't my guy, when I met Devin and I didn't need to impress him or show off or be chatty or anything, I didn't need to be anything on our first date, that was a mark, like, on the pro side for seeing him again. Because that, our date lasted 6 hours because I felt so comfortable with him. And that was a huge positive sign, must have for me. So we would love to hear what is on your wish list. Maybe you've got some far out fairy tale thing on your wish list, or maybe you want to share what must you have in a partner. And the reason I want you to call in and share it is because I really do believe that when you have clarity and you can put it out there, and we don't even need to know your name, it makes it more real. Whether you write it or speak it, when you give some sort of physical expression to this idea and this desire, it makes it more real and the universe responds to it. So the phone number is 888-627-6008. What is your must-have in love? Or maybe you want help figuring that out. Just call 888-627-6008. And while we wait, Devin, I promised a love spell. Do you want to talk about what a love spell is?
Well, okay. First off, you know, I think there have been too many, 1980s sexploitation movies that featured a love spell. So we're not really talking about that. In other words, I would argue that you really can't change anybody else. I think what you can do is you can change yourself. So if you have a list of sort of like, here's all, you know, I want the tall, dark, and handsome list, right? Okay, terrific. That's wonderful. But there has to be a piece of that where you have something to offer that, right? In other words, there has to be a component that if you're getting all of these wonderful qualities, you have to be able to sort of be willing to offer these wonderful qualities in return. And that was something that, you know, like my love spell was very much more about being willing to learn more about myself and change things that I knew that weren't helpful in a relationship. And I had to also be willing to sort of like get rid of ideas that I, in my head, that I held on to tightly. Because what if the right person shows up, like, and they tick all of the boxes, but let's say three of your favorite boxes, right? And I'm hung up on those three things on the list. That if I don't see those three things, that I'm all of a sudden doubting all of the other qualities. I had to kind of really wrap my head around the idea that I would be then willing and be flexible to sort of like, the thought is this, is that I have a whole pile of like three word prayers that I will use. And one of them for this instance is, God surprise me. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can change God to cosmic ooze or nature or whatever it is that, you know, but that's kind of the way I go with it. Right. I have to be willing that if something like unexpected happens, that I can roll with that thing and sort of still stay present right? Like, even if I don't know what it is that I'm looking for, I might be presented something that I'm not necessarily expecting because I have some sort of a vague notion somewhere off in the distance. So in terms of sort of like the love spell, I would start with, because first it's sort of the way I look at it is that you have to bring it into being in somehow, right? And so the first way that you bring into being it is sort of like make your list, write out these things, not just bouncing around in your head somewhere, but actually put it down on a piece of paper. Oh, by the way, before I even forget that, because we described three columns of the list, there is a fourth column. And so we have the first column, which is the wants, and the next one is the deal breakers. The third is all the things that I need to thrive. And the fourth column I've already alluded to is what am I bringing to the table if I can get all of these qualities that I want in another person, right? Because it can't be just like, because let's say if I get this really fantastic person shows up at the doorstep one day, right? There, I'm confronted with this wonderful person, and I am nothing but rude and sarcastic and aloof, and I'm not engaging and all of that stuff. That wonderful person will walk out of my life. So that means I have to be mindful of sort of like being and presenting my best self. Like, that doesn't mean we don't fight or disagree, but what it means is that I want to be present for this person and sort of like be able to bring forth all of the qualities that I think are going to be useful to their happiness, because it's not just me in a relationship. And that is one thing I've spoken to certainly a great many people over the years that sort of like, I have my list and I want all of these things because I'm a prize and that's it. And that's a wonderful idea. Like, I love the confidence element of it. And at the same time, I think it's really incredibly important to be mindful that, you know, you're going to be getting somebody. Like, that's the biggest gift somebody can ever give you is themselves. Right? That you walk through this nutty, crazy, absurd world with and still be in love.
About love spells, I love this idea of the fourth column being what you give. Anytime we can put the ball in your court and give power to you, agency to you, that's where magic happens. I had this dream of traveling the world with the love of my life. I kept telling the universe, I want to travel the world with the love of my life. I created a dating profile about traveling the world with the love of my life. I attracted a guy whose handle was Travel Guy, who, by the way, had terrible photos, but wrote a nice letter. And because intelligence and communication were really high on my list of must-haves, I followed up with the letter and we started talking, and he had a nice deep voice, and then we had a date, and we've been together ever since. But I did more than just that. That year, I cleared my schedule at the beginning of the year. I changed my whole business. I created a Morgana's making out with a cute guy around the world business plan to create space for this guy, not expecting him to show up, but knowing that if he did, the way I did business wouldn't be possible to travel the world with the love of my life. And I think that that action created a bit of a vacuum, like, oh, maybe she's serious. Maybe she's getting closer to ready. Because within that year, about 6 months later, Travel Guy showed up. Do you have anything else to say about love spells?
We haven't even started on the love spell.
Oh, yet. Okay.
So first, what we want to do is we want to meditate on the ideas of the things that fill in the boxes on the list. Then you want to fill in the list itself, right? You want to have your thing, and you want to have a real clear idea and picture in your mind of what it is that you want and what it is that you hope to give in order to get this wonderful thing, i.e. a relationship, right? And you want to have ideas and concepts of what this relationship will look for or look as once you have that thing. So you have some sort of an understanding of what kind of thing you can play with. And then what I would say is, once you have this idea, then what you do is create any type of ritual. And it can be as simple as, I'm going to read this list out loud, and I've lit a candle to inspire this thing. In other words, what you're doing is you're taking sort of like your prayer, you're taking your meditation, and you're going to bring it into life in some ways. And so there's two ways you can do it. I mean, there's a whole slew of ways, but one is like a super conscious way, and you create sort of like an elaborate ceremony. And this, the ceremony may have cakes and ales and candles, and you walk around an altar six times, and you jump up and down, and you sing a song, and you light another candle. You can make it a big elaborate thing, or something. There's something called chaos magic, where it's really like, hey, I've done my prayer, I've done my meditation, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to bury this list in the backyard and forget about it and know in my heart and in my soul that that right person is going to come to me.
Beautiful.
And so it's one of many things. How are we doing on time?
We have about 12 minutes left.
12 minutes?
Yeah. So if you have a question, or you have something you want to share, our phone lines are open. The number is 1-888-627-6008. And we respect your privacy. You don't have to use your real name if you don't want to. And we're talking about wish lists, must-haves, and love spells. I believe that a good dating profile can be a love spell. What I've heard from friends in the dating industry is that women typically have lists of, I want this, 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 this on their dating profile. And it's very much about what we want, but not enough of what we give. Men, on the other hand, and ladies, you've seen these, they've every man works hard and plays hard and wants us to go from what, like, jeans into an evening gown, and the guy profiles tend to sound braggy to our feminine ears. So a way to bridge that I found really, really magical and changed my whole dating experience to attracting exactly what I wanted and then picking the best one was instead painting a picture of who that other person is, making it not about me at all, but this is who you are. And off the top of my head, I think I said, you are the smart guy who gets the girl, because I love smart guys. And I said, I'm the sexy brainiac that your parents will love. And that was all I said about myself. But I said, my fantasy for the two of us together looks like this. We travel the world. We wake up in India, Italy, or Prague. We get on our computers for a couple of hours, and then we go out and get lost in marketplaces or temples or wherever, and we live that way for months. And that's what attracted Travel Guy, because I was casting a spell with that picture that would speak to other people who would have that dream. And when I wrote it, it's still so real to me. It was that kind of prayer, that full body experiential focused prayer of the quality of person. I was very, very brief in what I said, but it was sort of implied. This is an adventurous person. This is a person who respects other cultures. This is a person, I later wrote some stuff about cuddling and even I think something about maybe we could even try salsa classes. And I forgot about that until I saw it today and realized that Devin signed us up for dance classes years ago. So even that little bit of the spell took a little while to work its way out, and I had forgotten about it. Like Devin was saying about chaos magic, but there's that way that you put it out into the universe so that the universe can deliver it in divine timing. If you keep yourself available for what you really want and you don't settle out of fear for what you really know is a deal breaker. And now I'm looking at Devin.
Right. So that's the look. So, yeah, I mean, I think what my lovely wife was just pointing out is that I think it's incredibly important to be specific. And if you want something, that you have to bring it up. You know, this is another one of those things that after speaking to a great many people, a lot of times They find it really easy to tell me what their secret want or desire is, but they're unable to tell their spouse. And I am sort of amazed by this, because really that's what you want, right? Part of making the list is kind of bringing to the forefront these secret desires and these things that you may not want to tell anybody, but you still want nonetheless. And, you know, this may be a topic of another show, is that, you know, at some point, because I'm a stranger and I'm not invested in sort of like their lives, or when I'm talking to a client, that client isn't necessarily invested in my response to their secret desires. And when I talk about secret desires, it could be anything like, I've always wanted to go to Mexico. Great, go to Mexico. But, you know, they've built up this wall around this idea of Mexico because of money or finances or time or kids or whatever. And they don't want to broach the subject because they can't see it happening. And they think maybe their spouse will be upset by it. So they keep this thing hidden from that spouse. And what ends up happening is little by little, you get these things that sort of like build up in their heart that brings them fear and anxiety and discomfort. And then even the thought of asking for what you want becomes more difficult, and actually creates a little bit of a wedge between an otherwise happy couple. And so I guess when I'm listening to what Morgana was saying, is that I think it's incredibly important to kind of like get real specific so you know what it is that you want. So when those moments occur, you actually pick somebody, and by the way, I think it's supposed to be on your list, that you have the ability, you know, like line one should be, I have the ability to talk about the things that I want and need, and my future partner or my current partner will listen and love me anyway. That doesn't mean you're going to get precisely what you want, but hopefully you will allow yourself to be mindful enough to have somebody who's going to be on your team, even when, you know, some weird thing may show up, or some sort of secret desire, some secret fantasy shows up, and that other person will be receptive to that possibility.
I do think that is one of the big advantages of midlife, because I've coached thousands of women over the years. And what I've noticed with really young women, because I remember being one, is where do you know about relationship? Primarily from movies and TV shows, which is exactly where you don't want to learn about relationships, because it's not realistic. When we've had some heartache under our belt, then we can find out what we really need, what relationship really is, and create that in the world. So we are wrapping up now, and I want you to cast your love spell out into the universe with crystal clarity of what will actually make you happy and won't make you chase down rabbit holes of disappointment, so that you can call in and brag about the wonderful magic you created in your love life in a future episode. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.